Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I want to light up underneath the no smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing alright. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam over?
Welcome, welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Bill Turner, Chairman, Conservative Party, Washington. I'd like to welcome you to this week's episode of Conservative Party, Washington Radio, the Bad Attitude Guide to Good Citizenship, where we're honoring Claire Wolfe and her masterpiece, The Bad Attitude Guide to Good Citizenship. And I'm going to be stressing with you the ideas that have been laid out in this book and how we can make a difference in our liberty. Join me this week and every week as we cover these concepts and I show you a path to freedom. In the interim, join the Conservative Party USA and the Conservative Party in your state by simply going to www.conservativepartywa.org and clicking on the join button. Simple as that, although that's the Conservative Party Washington site. It'll take you in. You'll put in your address. It'll take you right to your site for your state. You'll join in your state and become a member, because it is time to crush the corruption of the two-party system. The Republicans are no different than the Democrats. They make different noise, but then they go out and do the same thing. Let's face it. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Chat room's open for folks who'd like to use it. We have a call-in line. It is 347-857-1197, and for liberals, we have a special number. It's 347-857-1197. But I want you to think long and hard about how the GOP has not done what they have promised to do, not only after this most recent election, but after the ones in 2012 and the ones in 2010. At first, in 2010, it was, well, we have to have the Senate. And we gave them the Senate. And well, we have to have the presidency. Well, what do you got? You have enough. You control the purse strings. You control the Senate. You control what goes on, and you can set things to right, just don't have the courage. So, my friends, it's time to make a change. And that's what the Conservative Party is all about. Real, true, honest change in America. Folks like you and I making a difference in this country, making a difference in America. So I want you to come with me Be free. Stand up to the tyranny of the two-party system. And those of you naysayers, and I can hear you out there saying, oh, no, you're just going to divide the vote. You're just going to divide the conservative vote. Oh, my goodness, you're going to elect Hillary Clinton or Elizabeth Warren. Oh, my goodness, we can't have that, a third party. Are you people insane? Really? I mean, come on, give me a break. Before you say silly things like that, go read and learn about the Conservative Party. We are going to support the most conservative candidate in the race. And we aren't going to have a conservative candidate in the presidential race. So that means if Ted Cruz is the GOP nominee, or Rand Paul is, or whoever it is, if they're more conservative than whoever the Democrats trot out, and let's face it, even if it was that squish Lindsey Graham, he would most likely be more conservative than whoever the Dems trotted out. We would obviously support him as much as it would pain me, just because he's more conservative than the other one. But the goal would be the same as the goal is for any conservative: to ram through the primary system. A conservative who will take a first ballot victory at the convention, a la Ronald Reagan during the Reagan Revolution, and trample the establishment GOP into oblivion. But we've got work to do. And my friends, when I say we, I mean all of us. Because we have to break the backs of the corruption of the two-party system. They have created an illusion that they're different, but they are not. And we must make a difference. We must crush them and come back and lead America to the founding principles. And we must once again become that shining light on the hill. But enough of that. You didn't come here to listen to me carry on. You came here to learn about the Bad Attitude Guide to Good Citizenship, Claire Wolfe's book, and what a wonderful book it is. And we're going through it because not only can we learn from it, but it gives us great ideas and things that we can do. So let's just delve right into it. It's available at Amazon. It's available at Paladin Press. It's available at your local library. Probably you could find it just about anywhere online. So let's go. We're at the chapter above the law. It's 3 a.m. A car with no headlights veers into the wrong lane, fails to stop for police, and smashes into a security barrier right in front of the U.S. Capitol. The driver appears impaired. Is he treated as a terrorist threat? Arrested for driving under the influence? Do police even do field sobriety tests? No. They respectfully drive the man home. He is, after all, Congressman Patrick Kennedy, Democrat, Rhode Island. The millionaire lawmaker later plea bargained his way out of felony charges in exchange for entering rehab and paying a few hundred dollars in fines. let's face it, you and I couldn't pull that off. That's pretty special. Lonnie Lundy's desperate father pleads for help from Senator Richard Shelby, Republican in Alabama. Lundy's son has been sentenced to life in prison on drug conspiracy charges. But there are no drugs, no paraphernalia, no money. Just the perjured testimony of a guy with a grudge who later said prosecutors cooked up the whole story. The Honorable Senator Shelby, disregarding the facts of the case, sniffs, and I quote, "Any person who is caught with drugs should spend the rest of their life in prison. I have no sympathy for them." End quote. Soon, Shelby's own son, Claude, is arrested for transporting 13.8 grams of hash into the United States. When the young Shelby receives only a $500 administrative fine, Senator Shelby fails to demand that his son be locked away forever. Bill is a Leadfoot scofflaw with a notorious history of reckless driving, including 13 traffic tickets. One day he plunges through a stop sign at 70 plus miles an hour, killing a motorcyclist. Somehow, Bill gets away with a mere 100-day jail sentence, 3 years probation, and a promise that the crime will be expunged from his record at the end of that time. Bill is prize. Bill Janklow, U.S. Congressman, Republican, South Dakota, and previous four-term governor of South Dakota. These are just a few examples of the dangerously widespread phenomenon elites who are above the law. In these particular examples, VIPs or family members got away with acts for which you or I would be harshly punished. This might be called the wink, wink, nod, nod method of being above the law. The legal system conspires to look discreetly away because the criminals have high status. But there are other styles of being above the law, and politically connected people take advantage of them all. And in a system where justice is supposed to be blind, think of the statue, Lady Justice standing there with the blindfold on. We know better. Laws are only for little people. This is America, and you get the justice you can afford. If you're O.J. Simpson, and you can afford a legal dream team, you can get some justice. If you're accused of murder and you can get only afford a public defender, and you have the same kind of evidence stacked up against you that O.J. had, you're going to get justice, all right, but it's going to be just us, J-U-S-T-U-S. And you're going to get locked up. And we'll find out why they call it the pokey. So let's talk about laws that are only for the little people and the elites who hold this viewpoint, who may or may not have committed any crime, but they're self-righteously certain that you should be made a criminal for things that they are allowed to do. The biggest hypocrites in this county can be, or in this category, can be found in the ranks of the anti-gunners. Senator Dianne Frankenfeinstein, Democrat in California, is one of only a few dozen San Francisco residents ever to be allowed to legally carry a concealed pistol. But, of course, we know her better as one of the nation's biggest ardent advocates for disarming the American citizen. Senator Ted Kennedy, sober, but still dead, and reportedly driving tour bus for the dead Kennedys, is Feinstein's equal, or was Feinstein's equal, in demanding that lesser Americans be disarmed. But his hypocrisy was revealed many years before his demise, when his personal bodyguard, Chuck Stein, was caught hauling two pistols, a submachine gun, and 146 rounds of ammunition into the Senate's Russell office building on behalf of Ted Kennedy. As a congressman from New York, Mario Biaggi was adamant only police should have guns. Then Mr. Biaggi became the other kind of con. And after being convicted of a felony, it was revealed he himself owned two handguns all along. Our class should be favored by law. This doctrine actually writes elitism and privilege into legislation, essentially using law itself to place favored classes above laws that burden the rest of us. For decades, Congress exempted itself from Social Security while imposing that fatally flawed system on everyone else. Even today, our supposed representatives make sure they're covered by multi-million dollar retirement plans while they loot every dime of our retirement security from the sadly misnamed Social Security Trust Fund. I certainly don't trust them, and let's face it, the government doesn't trust us. They leave paper promises that are doomed to fail us. Increasingly, laws grant government agents privileges not available to the rest of us. Federal investigators can freely lie to you or me. But we commit a federal crime if we lie to them in the course of an investigation, even if we're unaware they're investigating anything. Think about that for a minute. If a government agent talks to you, and you're unaware that they're investigating you, and you lie to them, you've committed a felony. Maybe they haven't identified themselves as an agent. Maybe they haven't identified that there's an investigation going on. But you, somehow, spoke a mistruth or a half-truth, intentionally or unintentionally, it matters not. Because you spoke it, and now you become a criminal. Whereas they can lie to you just because they can. Police officers everywhere, legally exempted from many restrictions the rest of us have to suffer on our right to keep and bear arms. They can carry firearms where we can't, use pepper spray in jurisdictions where helpless rape victims aren't allowed to have access to any kinds of weapons or chemical agents. And for many of you, I'm sure this seems like common sense, but it's against every American tradition, and it violates our natural rights, our God-given right to protect and defend ourselves. Police are, after all, simply fellow citizens, and they rarely are on the scene at the moment, self-defense is most necessary. I carry a gun. It's lighter. Much lighter than a cop. It never stops or wants to stop or whines about stopping for a donut. It doesn't take time off, doesn't call in sick, and is always with me and available at a moment's notice when there's trouble. And then finally we have the, we're from the government, so we're immune from the lawsuits class. This form of being above the law even has a name. It's called sovereign immunity. It derives from the ancient British doctrine of crown immunity. What is it? It's the assumption that the government literally, and I'm not kidding you, can do no wrong. Therefore, the government cannot be sued unless they beneficently waive their own immunity and allow a suit to proceed. The federal government and most state governments have, to their credit, passed acts that allow them to be sued for negligence. However, in many states, if government employees commit intentionally harmful acts while on duty, the state still won't permit itself to be sued. Does that make sense? Sovereign immunity protects the government as an institution. A similar doctrine called official or personal immunity shields individual government agents from lawsuits, even when they commit horrible deeds, as long as the acts are related to the employee's duties. Then we can't hold an evildoer to account. If a government official commits sexual harassment, not part of his duties, he's open to a potential lawsuit. But if an FBI agent shoots a mother holding an infant, he's immune. Shooting an unarmed woman, bizarre as it sounds, falls within his line of duty. And if you recall the particular case, you know that the U.S. taxpayers paid Vicki Weaver's surviving family members $3.1 million, but the shooter, Lon Horiuchi, of the FBI's horribly named hostage rescue team, remained exempt from personal accountability. And as members of the hostage rescue team, there were no hostages. They weren't rescuing anybody. And she wasn't even the one that they were trying to apprehend. She was holding a baby. A job description said, shoot unarmed women holding children. Low-level government agents enjoy qualified immunity if they can be shown to have acted in malice or bad faith. They can potentially be sued, but their higher-ups, congressmen, judges, cabinet secretaries, and the like, have even better. They enjoy absolute immunity. They cannot be personally sued for their on-duty activities, even if they lied, cheated, stole, or used their power maliciously. Strikes me that this very poor way of running things, and if we want the most powerful and therefore the most potentially dangerous people in our society to behave with honor, honesty, civility, and justice, if anything, we ought to demand higher than usual accountability from these folks who are the most highly trained and best acquainted with the law. But it doesn't work that way. I could go on. There are yet more ways in which potential elites and their agents are increasingly above the law. But I'll refrain. I won't mention, for instance, the doctrine held by several recent presidents that whatever I do is legal just because I do it. That's the creed of dictators and is the opposite of the way a constitutional republic is managed. In a just society, every individual is equal under the law. We may not be equal in prosperity, political connections, appearance, intelligence, or education. But justice is blindfolded for a reason, because her duty is to disregard each person only according to deeds and circumstances around the deeds. We are allowing the American political class to become more equal than others. We like to call our form of government a republic or democracy, depending on our biases. But if we continue to allow elitism to prevail under law, we'll end up with an aristocracy or an oligarchy, a system in which the privileged few and their hired agents, and they're going to be hired with our money, are free to trample the inferior many. And folks, look around you. And remember, George W. Bush, member of the esteemed GOP, said, well, if I did it, it must be legal. Barack Obama, or let's go back to Bill Clinton, who was that brilliant, brilliant man who said, look, stroke of the pen, law of the land, ain't it great? And now we've got Barack Obama who said, I got a pen and a phone, I just make it happen. What has this world come to? What have we become that we can act in this manner? It is a sad, sad state of affairs. I encourage you, once again, to go to www.conservativepartywa.org and sign up to become a member of the Conservative Party and help us crush the tyranny of the two-party system. Won't you please join me in prayer? Lord, times are tough. Families are feeling the sting of evil in the form of higher prices, lower wages, an ever-increasing tax burden, and the evil that creeps into their minds and hearts during this duress. Heavenly Father, please allow your anointing waters to wash over each American, believer and non-believer alike. Lord, as your anointing waters wash over each American, cleanse them of evil, of the darkness that creeps into the recesses and exploits our humanness when times are dark. Heavenly Father, I ask you to provide each American the strength to rally, to get through this oppression and darkness, to find their way, be it as a Christian warrior standing against the darkness that comes, or simply standing as a mother, father, friend, neighbor, and American, while those with the warrior spirit beat back the evil that is strangling our nation. God, use me as your vengeful striking hammer and guide me to the enemies of freedom, the tyrants and the bearers of evil that come to oppress America and Americans. Heavenly Father, there is a cadre of Americans eager to serve you, to lift the heavy hand of oppression from the throats of the people and allow them to run free in the fields of freedom. Unchain them. Set this cadre free. Unleash the prayer warriors, the healers, the Christian warriors, filling them up with courage, keeping them in the light, in minds, in swords sharp, forever sharp. Allow our hands and prayers to strike true right, beating back the enemies and freedom that, and evil that is the darkness that seeks to bury America and take away our Judeo-Christian heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. Thank you so very much for joining us. God bless and have a great day.
remember when you were down and you needed a helping hand. I came to feed you, but now that I need you, you won't give me a second glance. Now I'm calling on citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.